Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children. Today we're talking about ADHD, what it is, how it's diagnosed in the UK, what traits parents might notice, and how it can interact with autism.
Yeah, we'll share lived experience, but we're also going to look at guidance from organisations like NICE, the NHS, Young Minds, and the ADHD Foundation.
Because understanding the guidance is one thing, but living it is another.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. The NHS describes ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, as a neurodevelopmental condition that affects attention, impulse control, and activity levels.
And the word neurodevelopmental is important. NICE makes it clear that ADHD begins in childhood and relates to how the brain develops and functions.
Yeah, this isn't about parenting style or a child being naughty.
No, it's definitely not. Young Minds describes this as affecting how someone thinks, feels and behaves, which feels more human and less clinical.
So how common is ADHD?
Well, NICE estimates that ADHD affects around 5% of children and young people and around 3-4% of adults in the UK.
Yeah, the ADHD Foundation reckons that over 5% of the UK population may have ADHD. So this isn't rare. I would have thought it was higher than that too.
Yeah, so did I. When I first read that, I really thought it was a lot higher, but maybe that's because we're in that world so much that it crops up a lot for us.
Yeah.
So how is ADHD diagnosed in the UK?
It should only be diagnosed by a specialist such as a paediatrician, psychiatrist or another clinician with expertise in ADHD. It isn't diagnosed from a single questionnaire, from one school report or one short GP appointment. It requires a full clinical and psychosocial assessment.
That means a detailed developmental history, input from parents or carers, information from the school, assessment of daily functioning, consideration of other possible explanations.
Yeah, symptoms must have been present since childhood. They must have been seen in more than one setting, so school and home, for example. They must cause at least moderate impairment and not be explained better by another condition. So if you're listening to this episode and wondering if your child might have ADHD, what might you be noticing? I think you're best to take this one, Nat.
So the NHS describes three main areas: inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity.
And children may have a combination.
So inattention might look like difficulty keeping their focus, frequently losing things, forgetting instructions, starting tasks but not finishing, appearing not to listen, avoiding tasks requiring sustained effort, and struggling with organisation.
Did you notice any of these from early on?
Yes, a lot of these.
Yeah, appearing not to listen.
Yes, that one has driven me nuts on occasion because it can be perceived as being rude, but it's not.
Okay, hyperactivity. So that may look like fidgeting, leaving their seat, running or climbing inappropriately, talking excessively, difficulty playing quietly, and always seeming on the go. My goodness, it just sums up one of your children.
I know. I mean, I know children are energetic. A lot of them are. But my child was off the scale with, I remember when they were about two, I used to have to get them out of the house before 9:30 in the morning. It would just go too crazy in our house. We had to be outside. Outside was always the best place so they could expel some of that energy, do some running, climbing, swinging. The playground was always a really good one. And I am not like that. I do not have lots of energy. So to keep up with a child who has tons of energy
always
is very, very,
it's
very
always
draining.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it is always. It's literally from when they get up to when they finally fall asleep.
Yeah, 100%. Though I guess hyperactivity isn't always physical, like we've seen, it can be mental restlessness as well.
Yeah, and impulsivity might look like interrupting or blurting things out, difficulty waiting, definitely have some of that, acting without thinking, and emotional outbursts too. Feelings can escalate
All of
so
this.
quickly and very intensely.
So, can you talk us through what the diagnosis process looks like? Like, what actually happens?
So parents speak to a GP and then school input is usually requested. Then there's the referral to paediatrics or CAMHS. Rating scales are completed, and then a specialist assessment takes place, and then the decision is made using diagnostic criteria.
Yeah, and waiting lists in the UK are ridiculous, I believe, right now. Maybe it depends a little bit on where you live, but I mean, I heard that it was years.
Yeah, I think it is.
What was your experience like?
It was very long. Well, not in comparison with now, but back then I think it was about a year and a half, but it was alongside the autism assessment as well.
And you were having lots of contact with a behavioural nurse at the time, weren't you?
That's right. So by the time we actually got to the paediatrician, she said she didn't really need to see us because there was so much paperwork just from my telephone conversations with the behavioural nurse. So with autism, there can be differences in social communication, sensory processing differences, preference for predictability, repetitive behaviours or focused interests.
And with ADHD, attention regulation differences, impulsivity, hyperactivity, and executive function challenges.
But NICE recognises that they commonly co-occur.
So, what does that look like in real life? Can you shed some light now?
I think it can feel really contradictory. So there's the autism side of the brain and the ADHD part of the brain, and they conflict with each other. So there's that need for routine and organisation, but then the ADHD part, the inability to organise, it's like this internal struggle that can be really difficult, I think.
How do you see that interacting with your child?
My child's room is an absolute mess. So it's the inability to tidy up, to organize things. They like to collect things, but they can't put them away. And I have to be there to try to help put things away. But it's obviously something that's really hard, really difficult, just the focus of doing that. So I think my child likes a tidy room, but doesn't know how to achieve it.
Must be really frustrating for
I
the
think,
child.
yeah, definitely. And the mum.
Yeah, because executive functioning affects planning, organization, starting tasks, remembering instructions, and managing time.
And autism can affect flexibility and transitions. So, together, everyday life can feel exhausting.
What does a typical morning look like in your house?
Chaos. Constant prompting and reminding. And I used to get annoyed. I will hold my hand up because it's a lot on the parents, isn't it? It's a lot to have to organize and remind and prompt. And it's not just like one prompt, it's several reminders. So it can be a lot of work just getting out of the house in the mornings, but it is improving as my child gets older. When autism is present too, you're managing impulsivity, sensory overload, social exhaustion, and cognitive overwhelm. So it's really layered.
Environmental adjustments before or alongside medication can be helpful, such as reducing distractions, giving clear instructions, which I think you've actually covered here, movement breaks, structured routines, and positive reinforcement.
For example, in schools, when autism is also present, they would need to consider sensory adaptations, predictability, and reducing masking pressure.
How important are movement breaks for your child?
Well, massively important. And still now, it really helps with their concentration. There's only a very short time that they can concentrate for on their work. It's about only 10 to 15 minutes. even now at age 9. So a lot of movement breaks are built into the day, which really help. And then with ADHD, there is medication as a possibility. Now, that's very individual. I would suggest speaking to a paediatrician about that and really weighing up what you think is best for your child.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we've talked about really these presentations are very standard for boys, perhaps, but ADHD is often underrecognized in girls.
And that's because it can present differently. So you might see inattentiveness, daydreaming, internalized anxiety, masking.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are a lot of strengths that also come with ADHD. Children with ADHD can be creative, energetic, passionate, curious, and funny. I would say that sums up one of your children to a T.
Yeah, I would agree.
So creative.
Definitely.
I'm thinking of the massive cat house that you have in your lounge out of cardboard boxes. Didn't they come home from school with it? It's
Yeah,
life
and it
size.
barely fit into the car. Yeah, very, very creative and also very funny. Got the best sense of humour. Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, really passionate, really energetic, really energetic. And like just always on one project, aren't they?
Yes.
Always doing something. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And we need those people in the world, don't we?
We do. And in the way that autistic children can be deep thinkers, honest, loyal, and innovative, I think that that is also very true of your child.
Yeah, I would agree. They are awesome. If you have any concerns about ADHD with your children, I would suggest speaking to the GP, involve the school, and look at trusted resources online, such as the NHS Guidance, NICE, Young Minds, and the ADHD Foundation, which we'll link to in the show notes.
Okay, we hope this has been helpful and we'll see you again in the next episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.